Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Welcome to Overnight America with Ryan Recker on KMOX. Sponsored by Michaels Flooring, the flooring experts. MichaelsFlooringOutlet.com.
And welcome to Overnight America, right after the Cardinals baseball replay. And what an opportunity to bring on our very first guest right away. Well, that didn't take long. We're live with you tonight up until 1 o'clock. So thank you for joining us on Overnight America. Ryan Recker Radio on Facebook. Joining us first and right out of baseball, so appropriate, is the author of Baseball in St. Louis, Ed Wheatley. Thank you so much for coming on tonight.
Glad to be here.
Is there a better city for baseball than St. Louis?
No, I mean, that's why, you know, it's always recognized as the best baseball town in America. And that's where, you know, we put this book together to answer the question why, to look at the roots and, you know, what a just total educated fan base St. Louis has, you know. Baseball is the religion of St. Louis. I mean, you know, opening day is our national holiday.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I lived in Ohio, and there's this sort of fanaticism around Ohio State, where anywhere you went, everyone was diehard Ohio State fans, to a certain point where it was almost scary. Then I moved here to St. Louis, and it was a different feel, and it's so hard to explain. In Ohio, it is very it's very aggressive in the way that they love it. And here, it's more laid back, and everyone just absolutely cherishes what's here, and they go out and they'll support it, and it's a giving community, and you see the players involved in it too. It's so strange because St. Louis is really a special place when it comes to sports in general and really baseball.
Well, I think they've showed that, you know, over the years, you know, throughout baseball. I mean, it's gone over to the golf last year, it's gone over to hockey, but I mean, baseball's the root. I mean, we have had baseball here longer than any of the other sport. You know, it goes back in our culture. It's a, you know, it's a part. You know, just even the little leagues. I mean, you know, the Cory leagues are in all the states across the country over the decades, and in other countries across the globe. But you know, people don't realize it was started here in St. Louis in the 1930s by George Cory, and it's still headquartered here. I mean, there's so many bits and pieces that what makes this, and that's what really this new book is about. It, you know, it's the little leagues, it's the great high school teams. You know, there was a time when we had more men in the major leagues from one St. Louis high school in the 40s and 50s than any other high school in the country. And our American Legion teams and the players who have made it big in the major leagues, how many of them came from St. Louis?
Oh, that's neat. And the book is Baseball in St. Louis, which is out now. Do you mention Yogi Berra in there, even though he didn't play for the Cardinals?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, he is. Yeah. You know, Yogi is just like all these other men. I created after doing all this story of how, you know, baseball started, you know, with the people playing the little leagues and, you know, going up through the high schools. It's the, who were the men from St. Louis who grew up, their roots, their playing were the best in baseball from St. Louis, and by far Yogi Berra, more than any other player from St. Louis, is the greatest major leaguer to come out of St. Louis. I mean, you know, just unbelievable credentials. You know, granted he was with the Yankees, and you know they made those long runs, but I mean he himself, you know, all his MVPs, all his All-Star games, all his World Series, he was by far the best player ever to come out of St. Louis.
So when you start to put a book like this together, and even though they weren't players, they were more auxiliary to it, you look at Jack Buck and Harry Carey. How big of an influence did they have on the sport of baseball?
Well, I mean, that's one of the things that we talk about. Not only are they just tremendous human beings and, you know, compassionate, but the thing is, they brought the game to our town. They taught the people what baseball was like and how it should be. I mean, it was a time, you got to remember, during some of the greatest periods of our history, kind of what we're going through right now and talking about how we're missing baseball. You know, you look back and, you know, the people who were in their 80s and 90s now, you know, they lived through the Great Depression. You know, all the poverty, they didn't have much. And then it went right into World War II. The happy part to these people's lives was baseball and who brought it to them. And it was brought to them in a special way. And not only that, St. Louis was the most southern and most western city in the United States for the major leagues. So, you know, their voice taught the whole region about baseball. And it was that baseball was so important because it was a distraction, as I said, from the Depression. It was a distraction from, you know, the turmoil of World War II. And it's been there for us through other areas of civil unrest in the 60s. You know, think about here in St. Louis back in 2014 in the Ferguson incident and how, you know, that kind of was folded into, brought back some peace to the town as the Cardinals made their playoff push, you know. So, I mean, there's just so much that's important and tied to baseball.
I love walking around and seeing the Cardinals hats or the shirts and things, and there's so much loyalty to the ball club, which is awesome to see. But you kind of forget about the Browns as an organization, a baseball organization in town, because it's interesting to think that St. Louis was once viable to be able to support both of them at the same time.
Well, it was. I mean, you know, there was a period in it, you know, and I am the president of the St. Louis Browns Historical Society Fan Club, you know, written a previous book on the St. Louis Browns with other members of our fan club. And, you know, in the early 1900s, St. Louis was the fourth largest city in America. And it was, you're right, we could have two teams in our town. And the beauty of it was, think about it, you're one of just a few cities that had this luxury of sitting. And this goes back to, why do we have such knowledgeable fans? You could sit and watch everybody. This was long before interleague play. Interleague play didn't come until the late 90s. So, I mean, you know, Babe Ruth, Lou Gehrig, Bob Feller, Hank Greenberg of the American League, they came to St. Louis. And for a long time, in the first several decades of the 1900s, the Browns were the better team than the Cardinals. And then Branch Rickey's farm system kicked in. Branch Rickey had actually left the Browns and gone to the Cardinals. And that then led to all this long list of world championships that started in 26. So, you know, we've had winners. I mean, next to the Yankees, the Cardinals are, you know, the second greatest franchise. And so, I mean, we've had winners. We've had educated fans who are taught the game by the likes of Harry Carey, Jack Buck, Frantz Lox, Dizzy Dean. And, you know, we've had great players. And like you said, in the community, our players. And think about, I talk about in the book, where you have other cities. You know, we all remember when Albert came back last June and, you know, the standing ovations he got and all that.
Oh, yeah.
But, you know, a guy like a Daniel Descalzo, who was part of those pennant teams earlier in the decade, but he comes back and he gets a nice applause. People recognize and respect. Or think about in another city, the opposing team makes a great play. A player makes a long running catch and, you know, takes their team out of the offense, you know, ends the inning. But yet we recognize great baseball and what it took to make that play, and they get good applause, and people recognize that. And, I mean, it just goes back to this roots of how baseball came to St. Louis in July 1860 at the first game in Fairgrounds Park.
Baseball in St. Louis, and author of that new book, Ed Wheatley, joining us on Overnight America. You mentioned Bob Feller. I had the opportunity to meet him once. He was pretty cool. It was in Cleveland, of all places. But I think about all the great different names that have played, and throughout the history of the Cardinals, who are some of those names that you are absolutely starstruck to meet?
Well, I mean, I think everybody's got to put Stan Musial up on the top of the list because he, you know, was not only one of the greatest players ever. He's one of the greatest gentlemen ever, you know. My favorite probably is always Dizzy Dean, because Dizzy Dean was such a character in the stories. When you really study him and you put them together, I mean, Dizzy was just a piece of work. I mean, you know, from the great pitcher he was, it could have been, you know, we think he is such a great pitcher, but if you really know Dizzy and you studied him, he could have been so much greater, because if you were a fastball hitter, guess what you're going to get from Dizzy? Fastballs, because he's going to prove he's better. If you're a curveball hitter, it's going to be nothing but curveballs. Come on, boy. Well, one of my favorite stories, you talk about announcers. He was announcing for the Browns in 1947. He'd been out of baseball 6 years, and the last three of his career were really nothing, because, you know, the Cardinals released him after he got hurt in the All-Star game in 36. He had his toe broke, but he, again, being Dizzy, said, "I can pitch." Well, he ruined his shoulder, and the Cardinals released him. But he sat up in the Browns announcing booth, just announcing the games. And, you know, Browns weren't very good in those last several years. And he was like, "This guy's terrible. He can't pitch. He can't hit the side of a barn. Why don't we hire my grandma? She could do better." Things like that. And so what he did, he signed a one-day contract, came out of the booth, playing the Chicago White Sox in late September 1947. And he was throwing shutout. Stretched a single into a double, but that was just Dizzy, bigger than life, you know, kind of our version of Babe Ruth.
That's interesting, the way to look at it. So if you were to talk about the way your book, Baseball in St. Louis, is weighted, because you talk about little leagues to major leagues. So if people were to pick it up, what percentage of it would be focusing on the Cardinals? What percentage on the Browns? What percentage on, you know, little leagues, things like that?
Well, you know, it's really a thing where, how did baseball come to St. Louis? Baseball came from Hoboken, New Jersey in the 1846. It didn't come from Cooperstown in New York. That's been proven to be a myth. Alexander Cartwright is the man who laid out the baseball game that we know today, not Abner and Doubleday. So, you know, I always joke, Mike Shannon needs to update his line once the Hall of Fame has come out and made this recognize that, you know, the Cooperstown Abner Doubleday's hoax is, it's, instead of old Abner's done it again, it needs to be old Alexander's done it again. But, you know, baseball came across, it started as an amateur game, and that's how we take this. How did this happen? You know, it came as amateur game, and we got to remember, it was a time when it first came here, as I spoke earlier, it was 1860, and then as we got in the 1870s, 80s, there wasn't television, there wasn't radio. There wasn't much except work long hours, but baseball became America's game because it was a recreation. Everybody could play, they could watch. So you had factories playing factories, certain clubs evolving, communities playing community, and that's evolved into the professionalism we have today. And that's how we tell how baseball got here. The three iterations of the National League teams from St. Louis. I mean, we all think the Cardinals, but before the Cardinals got their, 10 years started in 1892. There had been two previous National League teams in 1876 that lasted 2 years. And then in 1885, the first team was called the St. Louis Brown Stockings in 1876. And then we had the St. Louis Maroons in the 1880s. And then eventually the Browns come in the 1900s. So we talk about the evolution of the pro team, but then I take it back to the Playground League, sponsored by the police in the city of St. Louis, and how they were teaching this game. And then George Corey evolved the Corey League. And we go into the great high school teams. As I mentioned, Beaumont had more men in the major leagues than any other high school. Mm-hmm. And we get into who were all these different high school teams and who were the players on both sides of the river over in Illinois. Belleville, we had Edwardsville had great teams. At one time in the 90s, they were ranked number one by the USA Coaches Day poll.
Wow.
Whitey Herzog's New Athens. Whitey called me the other night, said he got the book. I couldn't put it down for 2 days. I read it cover to cover, and my God, the depth, how long did it take you to do that? I mean, it was just what an honor to get Whitey Herzog to call you and tell you how much he enjoyed the book. But we also do a parallel, because I kind of put this in the perspective of, we lived in the history of the United States during a lot of this period is a segregated world. So you had, how were the African-American experience working in St. Louis? Martin Matthews of Matthews Dickey's Boys and Girls Club, he kind of challenged me to create the African-American history in your book. They need to understand that the history and how that evolved to the great Negro League teams, the Giants and the Stars in St. Louis, or the amateur version in the African-American experience was Tandy Park up in the Tandy Leagues in North St. Louis. So we put all that together to, you know, this is the complete, thorough history of baseball in St. Louis. It's a time capsule of memories from, you know, the people who have picked it up. It's only been out a very short time of weeks. And going back, and you it's at every Joe, it's a great Father's Day gift as it comes up, but in every Joe story, because you may not have been a good ball player, but you could play the game. You could go, you know, let's say walk through Rittner High School and maybe you played with Ron Hunt or Jerry Royce, or you went to U City and played and got the bat against Ken Holtzman or played with Art Shamsky. So, I mean, all these names appear. I mean, the St. Louis Amateur Baseball Hall of Fame gave me all their archives. The CYC opened their archives. As I spoke, yeah. Matthews Dickey gave the archives. So all the men from the St. Louis Amateur Baseball Hall of Fame are in here. All these high school winners and titles from both Illinois and Missouri side of the river are in here. So we tried to make it that people pick it up and they recognize, and it brings back a memory and a smile on their face.
Very good. Well, we have to, we have to wrap this up. But man, I'm having such a great time talking to you. We're going to have to bring you back on the show. A Baseball in St. Louis, From Little Leagues to Major Leagues. The book is out now by author Ed Wheatley. If people wanted to find it, what's the best place? We only got about 30 seconds, though.
It's at any bookstore. You can get it online. You get in the bookstore. You go to Reedy Press, REEDY.com, ReedyPress.com, the publisher. They'll get it to you, and they'll ship it for free.
I got to say, I like the way the Reedy Press books feel in your hand. They do a great job printing those, don't they?
Yes, they are, but they've done all my books.
Oh, that's wonderful. Ed Wheatley, and look up the book online, too, and you can get a pretty good rundown of opportunities where to find it. Hopefully you can make the circuit. We can see you making some public appearances because I know people love talking about it. Baseball in St. Louis, From Little Leagues to Major Leagues. Thank you for coming on tonight.
All right, buddy. We'll talk again.
Ed Wheatley. Wow, what a great guest. So much history with baseball in St. Louis. He joins us on the TDK Technologies guest line. We're going to talk some more sports with Chris Raby. The NHL plan is out. We'll talk to him about that next on KMOX.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today. Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.